Okay. Is there anyone else who'd like to make a public comment at this time while we're waiting for the general manager of KPFA to arrive? Anyone else like to make a public comment? Joe, can you see if Lem is in the hall? We'll just take a 1 minute break to take our breaths. Let me call Lem Lem.
Now it seems to work.
I think, yeah.
Where's the code? Yeah, I got in.
No, it's not working. He hasn't left.
But now I can't get back in.
No, I don't know. You have to keep it open to close it. I'll just look at it formally and said it's not
done.
Let me see how far.
Done.
The general manager of KPFA, Lem Lem Rijo, is about 2 minutes away. So if anyone would like to make a two or three minute public comment. Yes?
My name is Daniel Borgstrom, from a KPFA listener. And I want to say one other thing here. You know, this WBAI thing, it's been going on for a long time. As a KPFA listener, basically, I'm funding WBAI. And nothing, you know, year after year, nothing has been done about this. There has been time and time to do something, and I am just glad that somebody finally is doing something. I just want to say thank you. You walked in. Here is a house on fire. Okay, maybe you ignored the no trespassing sign. Well, there are the house is on fire. You did something at last. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Would anyone else like to make a public comment? Hello. Yes.
Yes, my name is John Riley. I am a producer at WBAI Radio, and you know, I feel sort of disturbed by the sort of lack of cooperative spirit that exists in Pacifica now. And WBAI has been a station that did support the rest of the network almost single-handedly for a number of years in the 90s when things were very good for us. But, you know, since 2001, the New York economy has been devastated by 9/11, and you know, there are internal problems at the station, but the sort of hostility that's directed at BAI, I think, is misplaced. And I think if people put on their problem-solving hats and helped us try to figure out how we could purchase a building of our own so that we didn't have this outrageous rent to pay all the time, that would be something that would actually be extremely constructive. Now the market for purchase is depressed, and this is the perfect time, if we could raise the capital, to actually do the purchase. And then we would be cutting off hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably, from our bill. And I think that this really represents, over 5 years, you know, this represents the $800,000 that we appear to be behind in central services. I do feel very concerned about the direction of the board. I feel that it's a real problem that these orders happened to change the codes on the transmitter. I think that it creates distrust, and I think the last thing we need to do is to burst into sort of an internal civil war, and this is the kind of thing that is very inflammatory. And I do feel that there has been, over the last few years, people that have been sitting on WBAI's board that have done little more than make really disparaging comments about WBAI and have undermined donor faith in WBAI. And I don't think that that's the way that you run a nonprofit organization, is to scare away donors. The other thing is that I was singled out in a memorandum that Grace Aaron wrote, and it criticized me for using footage that was directly from a feed that Pacifica itself sent out over the internet. And I put that on a show that where I was making a statement about my severe concerns about WBAI and the sort of threatening atmosphere internally to Pacifica. And there is, I think, no reason why I can't use footage. I didn't take it out of context. I merely reported on it. And further, I was criticized for putting a quote in from a local station board member in Texas, that Michael Woodson, who was an eyewitness to the vote on who was going to be the next delegation from the PNB to the Pacifica National Board. And I did that in good faith. We checked with another source that more or less confirmed the accuracy of his comments, had slight differences. And I definitely tried to find more information about it. I went to the KPFT website to look for the shows and for the recordings from that meeting. And they were very late in being posted. And when they were posted, it wasn't the LSB meeting, it was the PNB meeting. And so what I, you know, if there is some inaccuracy and someone can produce the actual recordings, I would like to hear the actual recordings. But eyewitnesses are actually a very reasonable assertion. And I think that it is a big mistake for Ms. Aaron to make threatening comments about removing people from the air for conduct like what I did. I think that is really anti-free speech, and I think it is really against the fundamental mission of Pacifica. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, now we're going to move on to the next thing on our agenda, which is a presentation by General Manager Lemlem Regio about KPFA. Lemlem, are you just about ready? Okay. Okay, we'll just wait a moment for Lemlem. Yeah, if you just come up to the microphone, that would be good, yes.
I wish I was that tall.
It's not good to be so tall. You bumped
your head. So we're setting up a PowerPoint so that you can have some visuals and don't get bored by this long report. John? Oh, I don't know.
John is setting up a PowerPoint
so we can do a visual presentation.
Be done in 30 minutes.
She's accustomed to making PowerPoint presentations and being effectively.
Right.
No kidding, Mom.
Threatened, what do you mean? People?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bad. You can figure it out. But the white and the white are the hard. Yeah. But the big one must be San Francisco. Yeah. And the gray is Alameda. This is San Vera and San Mateo, and this is.
So I'm going to have to be
kind of hard to tell because it doesn't have color.
She's got on heels.
No.
She's cheap.
I just found out about this yesterday.
Well, we have some
animal crackers.
I got them on the plane last night.
It's not a secret.
I always like to be groomed.
Who's fatty? Substantial.
My body.
We've left an hour for it,
drop
but we're starting
on the time for this.
40 minutes late.
About my 8 o'clock. So we need to be cracking on 7:30, 7:50.
Yeah,
I mean 7:30. Oh, please. You're not going to
Didn't Joanne let you know?
By the way, you
had your big computer.
Oh, your computer.
You knew I wasn't coming last night.
Right. Open and rated.
Oh,
Yeah, I put it on your desk pen.
I
was in the middle of a meeting. You need to get a.
To get a universal thing.
Oh, okay. Right.
I was outside waiting for him.
Yeah, he was trying to couldn't get through your phone. So he called me. I think we missed what happened.
When they come to the park,
right?
Because he was calling me when he was leaving
the kitchen.
Right. So when he called me, then you went outside, and we crossed paths somewhere.
Well, these meetings get kind of rough.
So yeah, you've got to give them.
She's 7.
Really love you. Just
right. They like their father.
Yeah, 16.
Right. Do you have kids that have got to that older age?
Maybe it's
Jenny. No, oh my God.
Are you in the right galaxy? Took a wrong turn somewhere.
That's right. 7
school.
Hi, it's Susan.
This is Letters from Washington, the first 100.
Well, this one is, we can't get her to eat.
Ready.
I hope this food is worth the wait. I'm starving.
One fig?
Good evening. Sorry for the delay. Good afternoon. Welcome to Berkeley. Before I start, I just wanted to thank everyone who did some work to receive and host you, but especially Joe Anzala and Bonnie Simmons put in a lot of time to organize the trip. So thank you, guys. This is my colleague, Sasha Lilly. She's the interim program director at KPFA. There are some new PMB members you haven't met. Maybe you'll get to meet later at the station when you come for the reception. Sasha and I are going to do the presentation together. Since you have all been very interested in programming and improving programming, and in light of the fact that we, as a station and as station managers, also realize that there is need for improving listenership and improving programming, which will result in improved revenue. Revenue has been suffering and on a downward trend, as you know. Also, in light of a directive we've received from the chair of Pacifica and acting ED of the foundation to immediately put in steps in place to improve listenership and revenue. A lot of what we're going to be talking about is to respond to that and also to provide with more details about where we're at, and that's why we're calling it the state of the station. So this strategic framework is something we developed in 2007 and has been the framework that has been guiding our projects, initiatives, and decisions. KPFA, you know, is a huge institution with huge potential and huge needs and competing interests, local versus national. There's always going to be tension and competition between the different interests that are all part of KPFA. But this basically tries to capture some of the most important challenges we're facing, most challenging challenges, some of the opportunities we recognize, some of the core projects we've been working on and continue to work on, and the long-term goals that we hope to achieve by these activities and this framework. So it's on the first page of the report. The purpose, we were unable to fit the entire Pacifica mission statement in that little oval thing, so it's somewhat paraphrased, and we're calling it purpose, but basically that is supposed to be where our mission statement fits. And based on that mission and to fulfill that mission, we set some goals, the long-term goals. Some of the challenges we are facing are the culture of no change at the station and across the network, flat listenership, the economic downturn, which continues to worsen, changing technology and competition, both terrestrial and on the internet. And some of the opportunities we see are outstanding mission and legacy. We are the fourth largest media market in the country. There's increased interest in alternative perspectives. And we see that when we do special programming in terms of the tune-in rate we get. Shrinking news and investigative journalism. And as the economy continues to dive, that continues to be even more on the forefront. Radio is still the most accessible public medium. That's also an opportunity. And there are several untapped strategies that would help us increase listenership and revenue. Some of the short-term and medium-term goals are facilitated organizational development to change our internal culture from a me and mine one to a we and ours culture, an audience growth plan, a programming renewal, recruiting talent in core station staff positions, implementing a performance management system to enhance productivity and accountability, developing institutional partnerships with UC Berkeley, San Francisco State University, Berkeley High School, and allied nonprofit and community organizations, expanding collaborations with sister stations, developing several giving programs, cultivating alternative fundraising strategies. All of this to achieve these long-term goals, expanding listenership, especially ages 20 to 40, or more realistically, 30 to 40, 45. Expand coverage of issues pertinent to diverse and global communities. Expand coverage of economic and environmental issues. Expand KPFA's and Pacifica's capability to multiple media platforms and maintain KPFA's financial stability. In the interest of time, there is some report that I can go through, or a couple of pages I can go through on your report, but I will save that for you to read later on, and we'll move on to the next part so that you can see the entire presentation. So I'm going to pass it to Sasha to talk a little bit about programming, or a lot about programming. And I'll be right here. I should take this off.
All right, so good afternoon, everyone. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've been doing at KPFA recently, some initiatives that have been fairly exciting, and then talk about some of our more longer-range challenges as they relate to programming. These are, of course, very difficult times for organizations of the left, for nonprofits, for media institutions. I mean, I think all of us are aware of the really deep changes that are going on in the media across this country as newspapers go under, as news departments are gutted. San Francisco Chronicle is just one of the places where such things have been happening. it's kind of a bloodbath that's going on, and it's really shrinking the outlets for information in general. And critical information, I think, has always been so necessary, certainly through our 60 years, but I'd say at a moment like this, where there's so much that's going on economically and politically, and yet there are fewer places that are covering these changes, KPFA matters more than it ever has. So one of the things that, and of course we face our own challenges, and we'll talk a bit about some of those challenges, but one of the things that we are particularly excited about, given this context, is a collaboration that was launched actually this past Monday between KPFA and our sister stations, KPFK in Los Angeles and KFCF in Fresno. We have launched together a California-wide newscast, which serves the many interests of the diverse communities of our listening areas, Northern California, the Central Valley, and Southern California. And there's so many commonalities that we all face. It is, I think, very much in the spirit of the Pacifica mission to let all of us know about our joint obstacles and struggles. Just one example, the San Joaquin Valley, where KFCF, our sister station, is located, is home to 4 of the 10 worst hit cities in America when it comes to foreclosures. So an issue like that is something that all of us need to know about, whether we're in Southern California, Northern California, and this is a way to do that. So we're very excited about that. And our news director, Eileen Alfandari, is here just to speak very briefly about the news collaboration. So Eileen, if you'd just come up for a sec.
Thanks, Sasha. And I also want to welcome you all to Berkeley and also thank KPFA's manager Lem and the manager at KPFK, Sean, for coming to us with this idea of collaborating and producing a one-hour-long newscast that could be broadcast over both KPFA and KPFK. We took that concept, tried to figure out the logistics, the details, hammered it out fairly quickly. We were able to take advantage of our 60th anniversary to use the publicity surrounding that to announce the launch, and then we launched on Monday. And it has so far been a, from my perspective as the assignment editor and the person that's been working very closely with the staff at KPFK, a success. And, you know, something that is actually, thank you. I might also almost say it's been a love fest between the newsrooms at KPFA and KPFK, kind of unusual at Pacifica. Yeah, the behind closed doors. I've heard from Ernesto Arce, the KPFK bureau chief. We were talking about how well things have gone, and he said that he and the reporter there, Dan Fritz, are really feeling good about being part of a team. So the collaboration has gone really well so far. I'm just going to give you a quick hit about some of the stories that we've been able to bring to a statewide audience. Sasha, you were mentioning foreclosures. We actually had a report out of Oakland about a public health report that was done about how literally foreclosures, this is the Alameda County Public Health Department, did a study in conjunction with an anti-eviction group, how foreclosures are literally making people sick. Physically increased numbers of ER visits. You know, an interesting study done out of Oakland. I'm sure if they did the same kind of study in Los Angeles or Fresno, they'd come up with the same kinds of statistics. So again, you know, really good information to bring to a statewide audience. Just hit a couple of other highlights, although there, you know, obviously been a lot of reporting all week long. We actually share with Los Angeles or Southern California a torturer, John Yu, who's a UC Berkeley Law School professor. We all know about the torture memos he authored. Don't know why, but he has decided maybe it was getting a little too hot in Berkeley. He has gone to Orange County to be a visiting professor at Chapman University. Behind the orange curtain, but there was a debate at the university this week, and Ernesto Arce, even though it's not next door, went over to Orange County, covered that debate, and again was able to bring that debate to a KPFA local audience, which is always very interested in what John Yoo has to say, both in writing and in person. I will skip over other stories having to do with budget cuts, the propositions that are on our special May 19th ballot that affect the entire state. We've had reporting out of both Los Angeles and San Francisco this week. With May 1st, we anticipate stories on immigration, again, affecting the entire state. We've got the problems with police accountability. That is the statewide problem, and we look forward to bringing an entire statewide audience the stories on that. I'm going to wrap up by just saying really briefly some of the reasons I think this has worked so well. There has been an open spirit of collaboration. We have had to make a few adjustments. We've been open to critiques. Both newsrooms have talked about what's working, what's not working, and we've just set the stage for the fact that we are interested in making this as good a product as possible. We're interested in giving each other edits and feedbacks, and there have been changes, some tweaks that have been made already, and we look forward to actually developing a statewide vision for how we can move forward both over the air and online into the future. So that open spirit, I think, and the feedback has been very important. The other thing that we've done is we've had some very clear lines of responsibility and authority. My experience is that if everybody knows who's responsible for what, who's reporting to whom, and we have that clear from the get-go so things aren't muddled, that also makes things work out. And we also, I'll just finally say, we hope that this can serve as a model for other collaborative efforts, both within the two California stations and possibly throughout the rest of the network. So thanks for your attention. And yeah.
We didn't get your name.
Eileen Alfandari, the co-news director at KPFA. The other director, Mark Miracle, is on the air as we speak right now with what we're now calling the evening news on Pacifica KPFA, KPFK, and KFCF.
I have one question for Eileen. Do you have a reporter assigned or in training from KFCF?
Yes, I should mention just briefly, Rich Withers and the board at KFCF have been in the process of doing some fundraising so we can bring reports from the Valley, again, to a statewide audience. Mike Rhodes and Vic Bedoyan have both done some volunteer reporting. They've done a great job, but we're looking forward to getting that Stringer budget kicked off so we can have a more regular arrangement.
Okay, thanks so much, Eileen. So the news collaboration is just one of recent initiatives that we have done. We've also, in the past months, launched a number of special series which have been well received by our listeners and I think have filled a need not just for KPFA but also our sister stations, because they have been distributed across the network and played on affiliate stations and sister stations. One of them is Letters from Washington, the first 100 days, which has been produced by Mitch Jezerich and takes a very critical look at the first 100 days of the Obama administration, where key issues get put on the agenda that will mark the next 4 years. So that has been one very successful series that has run and been distributed around the network. We understand that affiliates have been particularly positive about that. We also ran a series called Capitalism and Its Discontents about the economic meltdown and political resistance that bubbled up as a response to that. And we're also running a series called The Digital Chronicles, looking at the digital divide and technology issues of access. And I just want to play a quick montage of some moments from the series that we have aired. So here we go.
This is Letters from Washington, the first 100 days. I'm Mitch Jezerich. On today's show...
And for those Americans in danger of losing their homes, today I'm also proposing a 3-month moratorium on foreclosures.
President Barack Obama in a campaign speech last October. So what happened? We'll speak to Bruce Marks of the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, and we'll put the question to Democratic Senator John Kerry. On the campaign trail, Barack Obama said that he would call for a moratorium on foreclosures. We haven't seen that yet.
Well, it's very difficult to implement.
So does that mean that even though we heard it in the campaign, we shouldn't expect it now?
I can't tell you. I know they're trying to figure that out. They want to do whatever they can to stem the hemorrhaging.
For anyone who expects any of the people in the G20 to give us any sucker, they are wrong. Do not live in cloud cuckoo land. The only way you will stand up to them is on the street, in strikes, in occupations. We intend to stand up for our class. We intend to stand up for ourselves.
Today, Portugal nationalizes banks, Spain does too, so does England, the United States has nationalized banks. This is the socialism of the rich that we are experiencing.
I don't think there's any question that low-wage workers, especially in immigrant-heavy industries at the bottom, were already struggling before the recession hit.
The crash of 1929 and the New Deal is a good example because neither the left nor the labor movement, both of which wound up playing a very important role, were at all strong when the crash took place.
There is a range of things that has been going on in the region. Certainly, and those social policies, the left of center governments have been more active.
Few years ago, you couldn't really talk about capitalism. Now, if you talk to people in the streets, everybody is talking about capitalism. And I think this opens a huge possibility for the left. But left needs to get very serious, needs to get organized, needs to start talking about vision, about alternatives, and about different strategies.
So those are just some excerpts from the series we have run. So I wanted to talk to you all about some of the challenges that we face in terms of listenership at KPFA. And let me just... So there's a great deal that I think we draw from, that we can feel proud of, that we do at KPFA, that we do at Pacifica. But all of us do face some fairly significant challenges, I think, around listenership, not simply defined as how many people tune in, but how many people stay listening, are engaged with our programming, are affected by our mission, take that mission and have it inform their activism, and so on. I think that is something that, for all of us, is a not simply a radio question, it's a political question. So I just wanted to lead you through some graphs that give a snapshot of where we stand. So this is a graph of KPFA's listenership over the past 18 years. You can see that the gap there is during the Pacifica crisis when Pacifica didn't pay for Arbitron. So that's there's some data missing. But one can see that while if you look past the year 2000, there was an increase in listenership that was paralleled in all of public radio, particularly following the invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq. There was a spike that public radio across the board experienced, and then a loss in audience, peaking in 2004 and declining after that. So on the whole, if you average things out, we have not made much ground since 2000, adjusting for that change. This is more specifically KPFA's listenership. QM is the number of people who tune in at least once during the week to KPFA. So you can see that from spring 2004 to spring 2008, and I should say spring 2008 is the latest numbers that we have for KPFA because of the switchover to a different kind of technology, PPM. But you can see that listenership declined during that period. In fact, we lost a quarter of our listeners between 2004 and 2008. This is the ratings, the share of listenership in the Bay Area that KPFA has of the people who are listening to radio. So again, you can see that that percentage has fallen during the same period of time. And to me, in a way, this is more significant than simply looking at raw numbers, how many people tune into KPFA, because as I just said, I think all of us, since we're committed to this mission, to having it make an impact, if people are listening significantly less than they did before, then our impact is going to be less. So in fall of 2003, the average amount of time spent listening to KPFA was 7 hours. It's now 4.7 hours a week. So that's this very substantial change. This graph is for our comparing the listenership pattern for our week daily programming mapped against an average of public radio nationally. So there is a pattern that public radio listeners tend to follow in their listenership. Obviously, radio listening is very much tied around commuting, for better or for worse. So that gives a sense of how we compare to that average. This is an average. Again, a lot of these graphs are to do with our daily programs, week daily programs, because that's where the bulk of the listenership happens, and that's also sort of our bread and butter times. So it's this graph measures average quarter hour listenership, which is how many people are listening in any 15-minute chunk to the different daily programs across the week. And just a note on the numbers. These numbers that I've just shown you are from Arbitron, which certainly has its flaws, like various statistical sources. There are issues that one can raise with it. So when we look at these things, we don't just simply rely on Arbitron. This is actually a graph of our web listenership, which correlates generally with the pattern that you can see with terrestrial listenership. These graphs are all in your package, so if you want to look at them in more detail, I know there's a time issue. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Is it possible to make this into the full screen mode?
I don't know how to do that. If you have any ideas.
Yeah, it's a little icon down on the lower left. Oh, slideshow. Okay, go up to the top. Yeah, the menu.
Slideshow. And then view show. All right. And then I scroll through. Got it. Thank you very much. That's very appreciated audience participation there. Okay, great.
This is an excellent presentation.
All right. No, I'm glad because it was so tiny, probably could not see anything. So this is hour by hour. So you can see 9 a.m. Our peak is with Democracy Now! We air Democracy Now! At 6 a.m. and at 9 a.m., so that's the 9 a.m. airing of Democracy Now! And then it's obviously military time, so, 13 is 1, et cetera. 18 is the evening news. That's one day. Here is another one. Just to give you a sense of the general kind of patterns, they do correspond with the patterns that we see from Arbitron, which is measuring terrestrial radio listenership. This is our web online radio listenership. This is a graph of audience share for weekday programs. So it's the share of Bay Area radio listeners who are listening in any 15-minute chunk. Only four of our programs have more than a 1% share, and one, which is Democracy Now!, has a 3.
These ones that are all 1% could actually be less than 1%.
They could be, yes. So this is a graph breaking things into day parts. Monday through Friday, again, this is looking at all of these graphs I've shown so far are just focusing during weekday and during the days of peak listening. As you can see, our morning day part is the most listened to, followed by midday, followed by evening, followed by late afternoon. So when we were looking earlier at the time spent listening, this is where people are listening for longer periods of time. It varies between day parts. And this is weekend. The dark blue line is for Saturday. The purple line is for Sunday. We have had particular challenges with this. Like any graph, things are maybe hard to read. I'll show you. This is the web listening for those 2 days. So this is Saturday, which the other graph is less flattened out because it had a narrow focus of the hours. This is Saturday web listening, and this is Sunday. Saturday is has public affairs in the morning and then music in the afternoons, and the same is true to slightly different degree on Sunday. This graph, and actually another one probably illustrates it better, shows where our listeners are listening from. So if you can see here, for those of you who know the Bay Area, Alameda County and Contra Costa County and San Francisco sort of tie for the counties where most listeners are based. And then Sonoma, San Jose fall off. I think it's a particular concern that our listeners, we have so few listeners in San Jose, which is a very diverse area, very concentrated in terms of population, and receives our signal well. So that's an area which we can definitely improve on. This is a graph of looking at ethnicity. Unfortunately, Arbitron groups together white and Asian listeners. So what you can see here, and the graph, the labeling of the graph omits every other graph, every other one, but every other cell, but it's Democracy Now!, the morning show, et cetera. So if you're familiar with our grid, it corresponds to the same labels on the other graphs. So I think what is notable here is that our Black and Latino audience doesn't vary tremendously in terms of listener numbers between programs. What seems to vary is programs' ability to draw white or Asian listeners in greater or lesser degrees. So in some ways, our Black and Latino listeners, you could argue, maybe are more loyal listeners or more consistent listeners during the day. And this is age composition by average quarter hour. So hopefully, unfortunately, with the graphs that you have in your packet, the colors are not, it's black and white, so you can't see the distinctions probably so easily. But the thing that tends to vary in terms of listenership seems to be how many listeners who are older tune in or not and what numbers. We have not been particularly successful in bringing in people in their, particularly I would say in the 35 to 40 range is, or people of 30 and up. Radio listenership for people in their 20s is a real challenge because a lot of 20-year-olds aren't listening to radio at all. So realistically speaking, for KPFA to draw younger listeners, there needs to be a focus on listeners in their 30s and 40s, and that's an area that we certainly have real room for improvement. And that is this now. It's a...
Go to escape.
Ah, thank you. Where is escape? Top left corner. Yeah. So those are our... oh, it doesn't matter. That's a fairly challenging picture, I guess I should say. We tried to be as forthright in taking on, looking at these numbers as we can. I would also add, though, that there are significant opportunities right now, too. If we are able to think intelligently about where there are space to grow, what areas in particular may pull people in, I would say there's a real, it seems that there's a real interest, particularly at a moment like now, for alternative perspectives on the crisis, the economic crisis, political changes that are going on. And we need to think very creatively, I think, about how we gear our programming to people. I don't think it is a question of dumbing down our programming or taking the edge off our radical politics. I think that would actually be a losing solution and not at all desirable anyway. I think it would be really stupid. Our strength is our radicalism. The issue for us is how do we transmit it? How do we present programming that's engaging to people? And we live in an area which is famously progressive. Yet a lot of our listeners are former listeners. So thinking about how to reach people, both people who listen to us and have gone away and people who may never have heard about KPFA is something that I think we need to grapple with. And I'll pass things back over to Lemon.
Thank you, yes.
Great job.
Great job, Sasha. Thank you. That was very good presentation. So just to bring it back to where we started, that's all right. I'll just read it off. The challenges we hope to face because we have the commitment of many dedicated paid and unpaid staff. We have a community of listeners who are fiscally very generous and very committed. And we hope to continue to create a growing national and international reputation for programming excellence as a flagship station for the progressive news and culture as a Pacifica station. As an organization in 2009, especially with the current economic downturn, we have some major hurdles we have to address thoughtfully. The two most pressing challenges being the need to grow audience and revenue while at the same time cutting expenses and shrinking spending. Of course, we have our ongoing challenges of the internal culture that resists change, the changing technology all around us and equipment we have to upgrade and cultural perspectives we have to change in terms of expanding onto the internet and the competition we face, as Sasha was saying, a small station, KLW, in San Francisco, with a small percentage of our signal is competing with us. However, we don't want to institute band-aid solutions to address our challenges because band-aid solutions don't set an organization on a track to success. What KPFA and, by extension, Pacifica needs is a long-term strategic plan for all stakeholders to work together and implement. As we shared with you initially, our long-term goals are to expand listenership, to expand coverage of issues pertinent to diverse and global communities by basically prioritizing places like San Jose and the metropolitan areas around us that receive our signal. Expanding coverage of economic and environmental issues because those are the most crucial issues of our time, expanding KPFA's and Pacifica's capacity on multiple media platforms. Because of shortage of time, we weren't able to share with you everything, all the initiatives we are working on, but some of them include the expansion to the internet and maintaining KPFA's financial stability. And I just want to say, as the station manager, as the person who's responsible for raising funds for the station and ensuring a balanced budget, and has to cut spending, as you can see on the last page, the brief financial analysis, we have been shrinking spending gradually over a three-year period since 2006, and you can especially see a significant decrease in our legal expenditure, and that has been due to reorganizing, due to enforcing policies, reiterating, clarifying policies, and just trying to manage the station better, redirecting resources to operations and technological development. You can log on to kpfa.org and see a new website that we've developed that's more functional and aesthetically appealing. I just want to close by saying I know there is a financial challenge facing the network. I know there is a cash crunch. I know there are many outstanding expenditures. We, KPFA, has been and is proud to be and wants to continue to be a support and a backbone for the network. However, I want to make sure that I just say myself, as the one who's responsible for saying so, that you think very carefully not to spend any of our reserves, and that you come up with a strategic plan to pay off the line of credit and free some of the cash reserve that's being held as collateral for the network. We continue to pay our levy, the share of our levy. We continue to try to be a resource for the network as much as possible. We want to collaborate with our sister stations more and cut expenses on the back end, share programming, share resources, build a network. However, I just want to make sure that KPFA doesn't get taken for granted. And I just want to say that the little reserves we have is should be saved for emergency. It's for the whole network. It shouldn't be spent for anything but emergency. And just so you know, we sweat blood to raise it. So if we can all just appreciate it and thank the people, the staff and the programmers who work really hard to raise it. I think we only have a couple of minutes left, so I will see you at the reception and you can ask more questions, but maybe we should go to Q&A.